Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, good evening, or whatever the hell time it is from wherever the hell you are. Thank you for joining me, John Roiland, with the Witching Hour podcast. With me tonight, a different kind of guest, one that I'm very, very honored to have, one I'm very intrigued and interested in talking to, Mr. Andrew Scott Bell. The name might not ring the bell, but the two movies that you have seen, you've loved or hated, and the sequel that is coming out, I guarantee you're going to recognize Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, Part 1 and Part 2. Mr. Andrew Scott Bell, composer for both films, as well as many, many other music applications on his resume, obviously. But Andrew, welcome and thank you for joining us on the Witching Hour today.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here. It's good to see you, John.
I appreciate you taking the time. So I'm going to cut right into it. Winnie the Pooh, how did you Reese, I apologize.
Reese Frake Waterfield. Yeah, that's great.
Okay, Freak. Frake Waterfield. How did you two end up with this marriage between the two movies? Initially, of course.
Yeah, I remember, that's a great question. Thank you. I remember when I first heard about this movie, you know, they say Los Angeles is the biggest small town in America.
Right.
And I think the horror community is even more tight-knit than that. So I think we're like the biker bar on the outskirts of town where everybody hangs out, you know? So you hear about movies coming out before they're even announced in the trades just because like a friend of a friend of a friend heard about this movie. So I heard about Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey over a year ago, maybe even about 2 years ago at this point, when they just started to go viral. I think it was like May maybe. So not quite 2 years ago. And I just thought that sounded like such a fun idea. And a great way to get attention for young up and coming filmmakers to use public domain IP like that in such a surprising and shocking way.
Right.
And that really is the brilliance of both Reese and Scott, that they took that approach and that it worked so well. You know, love it or hate it, this movie gets attention, right?
Sure.
And so I looked up the movie on IMDb, came home from whatever meeting I was at when it was mentioned. And I found Reese Frake Waterfield and I looked him up on Instagram and he was already getting hate from people like, you know, you're ruining my childhood. And he was taking screenshots of the comments and posting them on his Instagram story and saying like, that's what I want to do. I want to ruin like the entire world's childhood, you know?
And that's the brilliant, and I'll tell you what, he's taken that too, because if anybody who has not seen his page on Instagram, it's right there under his name. Winnie the Pooh, writer, producer, director, ruiner of childhood memories.
Yeah,
I love
exactly.
That. I absolutely love that. I think that's genius and brilliant to run with it.
Just run with it. And that's the kind of person he is. He just like, you know, the death threats and stuff that he gets, and he gets a lot, they just roll off his shoulder. You know, it just means he just thinks of it as he's doing something right, you know, in terms of horror at least. So I just responded to his Instagram story and I said, you know, can I help you ruin those childhoods? And I think he got a kick out of that. And, you know, there's more to the story, but that's the short version. And we kind of just rolled from there. So, I love working with Reese because he's so playful and inventive and he's down to at least hear and try anything that I suggest. And he's got ideas too. And we bounce off each other really well. So it's been fun.
Well, let me ask, by association, I have heard and read a lot about those threats and people were, you know, pretty adamant about it, it seemed. Did any of that ever trickle down to you as well?
Yeah, though far fewer than Reese and Scott. I think I've had 3 death threats.
Wow.
Yeah, so 3 death threats and then one additional one that was kind of like a death wish and not like a threat, you know, like more like I hope you die kind of a thing. And I don't, does that border on yeah. And in addition to the threats that were actually, you know, very serious and that were like, I instantly blocked that person and like,
sure.
You can select any other accounts they might create. You know, I just did that and said, I'm not even engaging.
Right.
I do get a lot of things that are people being like, you're evil and you know how dare you do this to children. And my general thought to all of that discourse about Winnie the Pooh being turned into a horror icon, really. I see that as this, that's where this is going. But my response to that is that, like, turning childlike and innocent things and twisting them into horrific things is no new thing in the horror genre. There's, clowns have been twisted and turned into horrific characters almost since, since the, I don't know, the 40s, 50s, certainly the 80s. Music boxes, childlike, creepy dolls,
Sure.
even Santa Claus. I mean, there's no shortage of taking innocent things that children love and
Right.
making them twisted in a horror movie. And this, I just see this as a public domain extension of that classic horror tradition. So anyone who's really upset about it just doesn't, maybe just they're just upset about horror movies, you know?
Well, after the release of Winnie the Pooh Part One, which I did happen to go see in the theaters. I know it was select theaters in this area, and I'm in Maryland, in a very rural part of. So it was about a 40-minute drive each
Oh,
way,
wow.
and it was very select of those few theaters that were there. It was a very select area, or driving, an
Yeah.
hour and a half north to, to Pennsylvania to go to Philly or Jersey or something along those lines. So I mean, the crowd response was very. There was a lot of laughing, the people there. There was a lot of jump scares, which were to be expected. But it was a very light-hearted, it was a very dark film. Don't get me wrong by that. Probably one of the darkest I've ever seen with the tone of it. But people had fun with it, and it was a childhood memory of mine. I'm not gonna lie,
Pooh, Winnie
and.
the Pooh was?
Winnie the Pooh. I can
Yeah.
remember having the books that were bought to me by my parents, being read
Yeah.
and learning how to read by them, as a matter of fact, and then watching the animated series on Disney, or not series, but the films and so forth.
Definitely.
And so we had a good time at the movies. The poster is, I would tattoo that on my back as a full back piece. I think it's probably one of the most brilliant, beautiful posters,
I
artworks
think
I've ever seen.
you're talking about this one. I still have a copy from the
That is
Mexico
it.
premiere.
That is
Yeah.
it. I think it's a. I just think it's. I mean, how can someone in the horror industry, as a fan, how can that not draw you in? Unless you
Oh,
are obviously
absolutely.
offended by it and are one of the people saying, "How dare you?"
Right.
And I don't know how many horror fans actually brought that point up and were offended by it, unless they were horror lovers, but they were also a mom or a dad of young children, maybe going through that series at the same time with their little ones.
Oh
I
yeah.
don't know. Had a good time. It was not what I was anticipating. I had a good time. I have heard a lot of positive things about the sequel coming up.
Oh yeah.
I really have. Much like the Terrifier movie, every time a new one comes out, you get a higher budget. You learn from from whatever. You move forward, and it gets bigger and better each time. And I have heard a lot of good buzz about part two, especially when they're adding new characters from the old storybook.
Yeah.
Now, have you? I mean, obviously. You as a composer, you have to watch the scenes to be able to compose, think of, and get a feel for and compose the music for it
Right.
to be able to apply it. Have you seen the finished product?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty, as I was scoring the movie, as I was writing the music for it, I would get new edits and new versions with new VFX or, cleanup type of things. I mean, the in terms of blood, there's so much more practical in this movie than the last one. But VFX in terms of like what's on the phone screen when there's, and what's on the computer screen or so I would get new updates, but then even no matter, what the latest one I get, I'm always so pleasantly delighted to go to the premiere and see the final color grade, the way that the, because what I get is very raw footage, very washed out, and then and that's intended, so that the person who does the color grade has all the information that they can like darken this spot and lighten this spot and bring out the yellows or something. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So I get to see that. I get to hear the final sound design, all the, sound effects and stuff that I might get pieces of here and there from the person. I work really closely with the sound designer on Pooh 1 and Pooh 2, Ryan. He's fantastic. And so he would send me, here's a new export of what I'm working on, but just to hear it all come together, and there's still always some bits that I didn't get to see while working on the movie. So yes, we went to the premiere in London, March 11th at the iconic Prince Charles Theatre there. It's a really
Oh,
great
wow.
indie. It's kind of like London's version of maybe like the New Beverly. It
Okay.
plays indie cinema and has great snacks and great people, and they cultivate some really great, old movies and new movies that are just coming out that are maybe not in the main theaters throughout London. So it's a really cool theater. So I had never been personally, so it was great to go and celebrate with everybody. And I will say, like, this sequel is a blast and a half. It is they something I really admire about Reese and Scott, because it's very easy to get as much criticism as they got from the first movie, and to just, ignore it. And, like a lot of people say, like, you need to have a thick skin, right?
Say challenge accepted and make another one.
Yeah. So I, what
It's
I, and I saw Reese doing this throughout the year. Like, what they did was he said challenge accepted. And then he would post polls on his Instagram story. Like, what do you want to see? Or like, a question where you type an answer, like, what do you want to see in a sequel? And then he would go into like comment sections on like Fangoria or Bloody Disgusting or Dread Central and like talk with people who were criticizing the movie. Well, what did you want to see? If you didn't
okay.
like this, what, oh, you want to hear them talk more? Oh, that's cool. That's in. And then he took all of this stuff and like accumulated it together from both critics and harsh critics and fans, and said, this is, I think, what everybody was maybe expecting to see from the first movie that we can give them in the second movie. And that's why it has they brought on Matt Leslie, who's an incredibly talented writer who wrote Summer of 84, to kind of pen the script alongside Reese. Reese and he came up with the story, and then Matt penned the script. So it has more plot, something more that you can like sink your teeth in and follow along, instead of just, girls in a cabin kind of a thing. And they, the characters talk, we have new characters, there's more practical effects. One of the big criticisms of the first one was the use of CGI blood, which was just a result of the budget, really, to be honest. They really upgraded the creature designs. So this is really is a result of what the fans and critics said they wanted and want to see from Pooh. More campy one-liners, stuff like that. So I the few reviews that I've seen come through, because they did send some screeners out, have just been like glowing. I mean,
Nice.
I think Rotten Tomatoes needs 5 reviews to from certified critics to give a rating, and
Right.
we're at 2 fresh so far. So
Okay.
if we get 3 more fresh, that would be a horror miracle.
Hey, Tom, to send one my way, I would be honored to sit down and watch it. I would. That I would. So are you a horror fan by nature?
Yeah, I love horror, though I came to it very late.
Okay.
I know a lot of people have their horror, origin stories where they like sneak down the stairs and they watch Chucky behind their parents' back or something like that.
Sure.
I didn't really have any of those, though. I did wake up in the back seat of our station wagon at a drive-in movie theater while the T-Rex scene from Jurassic Park was happening. As a kid in the back seat of a car watching
That's
a T-Rex.
horrific, man. Sure.
Yeah, so maybe that is my horror origin story. But yeah, I mean,
That.
I came to it a little bit late, in as an adult, seeking out the
Hey,
thrills and stuff.
better late than never, though. Welcome to it.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about your history. Where Mr. Scott Bell originated from, musically, let's just say. Where'd you
Sure.
start off with?
I was very much interested in art, and I wanted to be a comic strip artist, like is it Tim or Jim Davis, Garfield, or
Jim.
Calvin and Jim
Jim.
Davis. I very much wanted to do that, and then I wanted to be involved in animation, and then maybe I thought I wanted to be a director. But when I found music, that's when I really, I think I it like clicked. But I think I found music through film. And I think all of those things have the through line of being storytelling. I think I've always wanted to be involved in telling stories to people, comic strips, making people laugh, but still telling a story, animation, directing, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And it was around, I think, when I was like 7 or something, Forrest Gump came out, and my parents bought the 2-disc soundtrack it was mostly like Bob Dylan songs and rock songs and stuff like that throughout the decades of that movie. But the last track on the second disc was a suite of orchestral themes from the soundtrack. And I remember, because I listened to those 2 CDs all the time, but I remember the first time I actually listened long enough to get to the last track on the last disc, and it like ignited my brain on fire. It was like the lightning bolt that started the forest fire of my passion for music. And just hearing it and hearing the way that the strings played with the piano was such an origin moment for me, that I actually took my stereo from my bedroom and I brought it downstairs for like a month or maybe more, and had it on the upright piano in our living room, and so that I could learn how to play. Still know how to play it. Well, I can't, I'm not good at piano, but I know how to play it. And it's just, I learned that whole thing. And even just listening to, I think it was really important that not just the piano part in the beginning, but then there's I don't remember, I don't play that part as much, but that part is all strings. That's all orchestra. And I think like learning, like listening to all those strings and all those instruments, and then trying to parse out the notes on a different instrument, I think was really integral, like introduction to orchestration and like the ideas of composing music. And then from there, I would just like, I was so young that obviously I wasn't scoring movies, but I was like writing songs on the piano and like reverse engineering, like inventing the movie that goes along with those songs.
Sure.
And we'll make sure that this is the short version of the story, but eventually, I played trumpet in middle school and high school, and started to take a music theory courses in my high school, and then went to composition, went to university to get a bachelor's in music in with a specialty with a degree in composition and music theory, and a minor in film studies. And then a couple of years after that, my wife and I moved to Los Angeles in 2015, and it's been crazy, been working here since. So,
I've seen. That's awesome. Congratulations on the found
thank you.
success out there. I have talked to a few people that, I'm packing my bags, I'm heading to LA, I'm going to be a star. No,
Yeah.
they're struggling, if not on the
It's
streets.
tough.
It is, it's
I
rough.
think the key for anybody is like that the goal can't be to be a star, right? Like I'm not a star, but I feel fortunate to be working. And the satisfaction that I get out of working is not anything like anytime there's a movie in theaters that is big enough for, like Pooh 1 and Pooh 2 basically have gotten me some wonderful interview requests, and I get to meet some fabulous people like you.
Thank you.
But those are all the cherry on top of the work. You know what I mean? Like,
I will tell you one thing though, after having left that film, I did not know your name or who was the composer for the film at the time until I got home and did some research on it. But the music, the score was one thing that was definitely highly noted about part one.
Oh, thank
I
you.
will. I will be honest about that. My wife and I and her dear friend went with us, and we all commended your job
Wow.
for
Well,
part
thank you
one.
very
We
much.
absolutely loved it. It was very it was had great score, great sound, great timing, and you know it really shows a person how much emotion. How can I put this? Without the music, without the score, you have a very plain, dry film. The movie adds so much element and so much emotion, whether it's comical or horror or love and heartfelt, whatever it is, if it's not done well, it's just background noise, in my opinion. Two of my all-time favorite albums that I'd ever bought was two soundtracks. One was for Platoon. The score on that still almost brings me to tears. And the second one I have bought numerous times because I've worn it out was Interview with a Vampire,
Oh, fantastic.
strictly for all of the all the instrumental stuff. All of the composed work is just absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
And I don't think people in your line of work, the composers, are given enough credit because you really bring so much added life to the film.
Oh, that's very kind.
An
Yeah.
actor can do a great job, his best performance, and you can watch that, but you can't feel it without that background noise. I'm
Yeah.
sorry, not noise, but the emotion, the heartfelt emotion that you have brought to that screen. It
Totally.
adds it
I see
so
what you
much
mean.
to it. So I thank you
But
for
I
that.
still th I do think it needs to be there. It needs to be there in some way.
Oh, of course.
Like name a piece of music that has made you laugh on its own. You know what I mean?
Right. No,
Or like, I mean, you can be maybe jump scared slightly by but this is just me, deflecting the compliment. But so what I should say is thank you. I'm humbled by it, and I agree that music brings so much to films. But it's a team effort too. Like
Of
I think
course.
that the tension has to be there for the music to bring out the tension and highlight it. And I must be getting like a phone call or something. Is my video freezing for you?
Not freezing, but you are definitely lagging a little bit.
All right, it'll catch up soon. Sorry about that. Sorry, YouTubers.
No, at first, actually, I thought maybe I had said something offensive because you didn't move for a moment. Then all of a sudden, you said something, and it was like watching an old Saturday afternoon Kung Fu movie because then your mouth all of a sudden, yep, see, now all of a sudden you're moving in high speed, catching up there.
I just took a sip of coffee. I think we're getting there.
Yeah, it must be strong coffee because there you go. Because boy, you threw that thing down.
Oh man. Okay. Are we there? We're there. I think we're caught up now. Man, that was rough. I try to use my phone because it has a better camera. I try to use my phone as a web camera, but then like if I get a text message or if like it kind of glitches sometimes.
No, I'm with you. So, actually, before, so my next question to you, Andrew Scott Bell, personally, what is your next step after part two? Obviously, what is your next project or big project, your goal one day to be have done?
Well, my next project right now, I'm working on a movie called Hell Hath No Fury, which is a really beautiful film. I cannot wait for people to see it. It is about kind of the lore, or not necessarily even about this, but it involves the lore of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and another character a lot of people don't know about or even mention. Maybe they don't mention it purposefully. Lilith, Adam's first wife. And it's a really fantastic story, beautifully shot, amazing, really well acted. I'm scoring it right now among all the chaos of the Pooh release. It's kind of a tricky thing. But I'm just so delighted to be a part of this movie. I can't wait for it to come out. I'm not sure where it's going to go.
When
And
can
then
we look forward to
before
that?
Yeah, I'm not sure where it's going to go, but I know that in, you know, it'll be somewhere in the late spring or something. I'm hoping it gets some kind of distribution. I'm not sure where it's going to go. I don't, you
Okay.
know, I don't really, I'm not really, even if I wasn't working on even if I was done, even when I'm done working on the music and it's, you know, I'm just, as a composer, I'm just not part of those
Okay,
discussions, you know.
gotcha.
Like, I don't
Understood.
know where, until I'm told, you know, I don't know what the plan is for the Blu-rays for Pooh 2, for example.
Gotcha.
But I think, you know, to answer your question about like what my kind of dream job would be, I used to think more specifically, you know, like, I want to do a Star Wars show, or I would love to do a Mission Impossible movie. Both of those are true. But I think more recently, like, instead of th thinking so specific, like Mission Impossible, the scores to Mission Impossible were huge to me growing up. I bought all the soundtracks from the show and from the 90s movie, and then the sequel was scored by Hans Zimmer, and the first one was Danny Elfman, and first movie. So those, and then James Bond were a huge, you know, I just loved listening to the James Bond music. I had like a James Bond cake for like my 9th birthday or something.
Nice.
So I think to answer your question, I would love to do a spy thriller. Doesn't
Nice.
have to be James Bond or Mission Impossible. Doesn't have to be a big franchise. In fact, maybe it's even more fun to like create my own stamp on a new spy thriller
Sure.
franchise or idea,
Sure.
but I would be have so much fun doing a spy thriller, especially one that could lean into those, you know, brassy, jazzy tones a little bit. I think that would be so much fun to play with.
Oh, sure. No, and I definitely wish you the luck in the future with that. I hope that can actually come through for you one day.
Yeah, thank you.
So part one of Winnie the Pooh came out February, last February.
Yeah,
Here we
February
are
15th.
just over a year later. We've got the sequel coming out the next 2 days. You are going to be Universal out in California, is that correct?
Yeah, the Universal Studios in Hollywood is part of, they have the theme park there, but it's actually the theme park is at the studios, you know, so they're filming, you know, just a little bit away from where people are screaming on roller
Oh,
coasters.
wow.
I've always
I
thought
didn't
that was
realize that.
fascinating. Yeah, like right down the street is the Warner Brothers studio. In fact, from certain parts of the theme park, like when you're walking around, you can like look over like a railing and see like little fake city streets down there, you know, where they might be shooting. It's really interesting that they did that. So we're playing Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night at 7 p.m. at the Universal City Walk AMC, which is kind of like they have a bunch of restaurants that, you know, I think Florida has a City Walk too.
Yeah.
You know, you park and then they make you walk through all these restaurants
There,
and
yeah.
shops and stuff.
Yep.
And one of those is a movie theater, and everyone in LA knows it because they have great laser projection. A lot of people enjoy seeing movies there.
So you will be there. Anybody else from the cast, in case any of my California friends or listeners might be in the area to swing by?
Absolutely. And we're going to have a kind of a full house because on Tuesday there's a Q&A at Century City AMC, which is just down the road. And that Q&A will have Reese, the director, Scott, the star, who plays Christopher Robin, the writer, Matt Leslie, cinematographer, Vince Knight. Let's see, they have some, I can't remember her last name, but Kelly is one of the actresses in the movie. She's going to be there. There's a couple more actors that are going to be there. That's Tuesday night at 7 p.m. at AMC Century City. And at the same time, they split us up because that one sold out. So they thought, let's sell out, let's open
Awesome.
another Q&A somewhere else. And
Sure.
that's when they sent us to the AMC at Universal. So at Universal on Tuesday, it'll be myself, a composer, Tigger, the actor who plays Tigger.
Okay.
Louis Santer, his name is Louis Santer. Natasha Tassini, who was in Pooh 1, you'll recognize her as the girl in the hot tub.
Okay. Gotcha.
She plays a little fun cameo if you can, you know, pay attention and try to find her. She's in one of the scenes in this movie as well, but she's just such a, you know, she's such a joy. I had so much fun with her at the Mexico premiere, so I'm glad they grouped us together in the Q&A.
Awesome.
I'm glad I get to see her again. And
Awesome.
then Nikki is one of the actors who plays Kara. She's going to be with us there. And I think, who's the fifth person? I think that's it. I think there's four of us at that Q&A. But then, anyways, I know this is long-winded. I told you I'm long-winded. Wednesday and Thursday, both Q&As are merging
Oh,
at AMC
nice.
Universal. So there will be 10 of us for Wednesday and Thursday
Very
at the
nice.
AMC Universal. The Q&A might be chaos, but come hang out with us, bring stuff to sign, and because it's rare that you get the director and the writer and the cinematographer and the
Yeah.
composer and then a bunch of actors and the producers, and it's rare to get us all together,
That's like its own horror convention plus
it
adding a
kind of,
couple more
yeah.
names to it. That's great. That's amazing. So yeah, any of our, and I know California is not exactly a tiny town, but
Yeah.
anybody out there that's listening up, do yourself a favor, man. That's gonna be a great time, regardless. Rain,
Yeah.
shine, whatever you guys got going on out there. I would definitely be there if I could, if I wasn't a complete opposite coast from you guys, because it definitely
Right.
sounds like a good
Yeah.
time. Andrew Scott Bell, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, in the middle of yet moving forward with another project, pushing forward in support of Winnie Part Two. Congratulations on that, and best
Thank
of
you
luck
so
with the
much.
film.
Thank you.
I hope to hear from you anytime. You want to sit down and chat some more, I'd love to have you again.
Oh, I definitely, it would be a delight.
Have a great time over the next couple of days and enjoy yourself.
All right. Thank you so much.
Boys and girls, this is John with the Witching Hour Podcast. Andrew Scott Bell, composer, Winnie the Pooh Part One and Two, starting tomorrow. So get out there and support the indie horror. And as always, you guys, keep it evil.